DiscerningHearts.com presents The Trinitarian Reality of Self-Giving Love, a Discerning Hearts 9-day online retreat with Monsignor John Esseff and Sister Cor Immaculatum Heffernan. Monsignor John Esseff is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He is a founding member of the Pope Leo XIII Institute, which specializes in the training of priests in the areas of exorcism, healing, and deliverance ministries. He also served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and spiritual director to bishops, priests, religious, seminarians, and other religious leaders around the world. In many instances, he conducts those retreats with Sister Cor Immaculatum Heffernan, who is a member of the Sister Servants of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. She holds several degrees from Marywood, Notre Dame, and Syracuse universities. She is an accomplished artist and musician, as well as a counselor and spiritual director. During the course of 9 episodes, both Monsignor Esseff and Sister Cor offer a sequentially guided online retreat that will break open the theme entitled, We Are Called to Live the Trinitarian Reality of Self-Giving Love. Participants are encouraged to have a Bible and journal ready for notes and reflection. They are also encouraged to take significant portions during the day or night to spend time in prayer to contemplate what they have heard and to listen to what God may desire to communicate to them during this grace-filled period of retreat. We now present Monsignor John Esseff and Sister Cor Immaculatum Heffernan.
Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's the birthday of the church. And so I think it's only fitting that we should greet the Holy Spirit today as Jesus came into the world at Christmas. So often we fail to greet the Holy Spirit on his entrance into the world. And he came upon the Blessed Mother and the apostles in that gathering that we're going to hear about from Sister in a minute. But let's welcome him. Come, Holy Ghost, Creator blessed, and in our hearts take up thy rest. Come with thy grace and heavenly aid to fill the hearts which thou hast made. To fill the hearts which thou hast made. O Comforter, to thee we cry, thou heavenly gift from God Most High, thou font of life and power of love, the sweet anointing from above, the sweet anointing from above. Praise be to thee, Father and Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. And may the Son on us bestow all gifts that from the Spirit flow, all gifts that from the Spirit flow. Father, Father, send us the promised Paraclete through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Mary, spouse of the Holy Spirit, pray for us. And Sister, could you read the account of the Holy Spirit coming upon them?
In chapter 2, there's such a beautiful explanation and description of the Holy Spirit descending upon Mary and the apostles. It comes in chapter 2 of the Acts of the Apostles, verses 1 to 13. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues. As the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At the sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement, they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his own native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." They were all astounded and bewildered and said to one another, "What does this mean?" But others said, scoffing, "They have had too much new wine." That is such a beautiful, real accounting of what was going on at that particular time.
What Sister now is going to read also is the last act that Jesus did while he was here on earth. He went up to the mountain and he was going to bid farewell to his apostles. And as he did in Matthew, he gave them the mandate to go forth throughout the whole world and teach his gospel and to establish his church.
During these past days between the Ascension and Pentecost, there occurred this event, and it was the commissioning of the disciples. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age."
Jesus, for 3 years, had been preparing these apostles. And as he was about to depart, he commissions them to go into the whole world. Now he's leaving the world. Jesus had suffered on the cross and died. He overcame sin. He overcame death. He rose from the dead. And then he is now ascending into heaven. His time on earth is completed. For these next 10 days, from Ascension until Pentecost, he is about to prepare them in another way. That is by their preparation for the coming of the Holy Spirit. During this time, they get together and they fill in the spot that Judas left vacant while they were there together. And they're gathering with Mary, the mother of Jesus. What did he do in his death on the cross? He descended into hell. And he went all the way back because on the cross, he accounted for every sin of every sinner until the cross and until the end of time. His work was complete, and now he was about to begin his reign in paradise. And today He opens up the gates of heaven on the Feast of the Ascension. And then on the Feast of Pentecost, he's going to send and does send the Holy Spirit. But the reign of the church triumphant has now taken place in heaven. Every sinner who has been cleansed by the power of Jesus up until the cross now enters into paradise. Can you imagine the triumphant march as our head takes his seat at the right hand of the Father? The church militant is established. The church militant is about to begin here on earth. And so he's sending down upon the apostles the Holy Spirit, transforming them into himself. Jesus is now in Peter. Peter is a unique, specific, irreplaceable Jesus. Saint Peter is Christ. Everything he does, his movements are like him. Paul, when he's baptized, "I live, no, not I, but Christ in me." That's what he says. "Who are you?" he said to Jesus when he first met him as a persecutor of the church. "I am Jesus." Paul, or Saul, "I am Jesus. When you killed Stephen, you were killing me. When you persecute the church, you are persecuting me. I am in the church. The church and I are one. This church on earth is me. Christ in every one of us. Jesus in the church militant. And there are many suffering souls this particular 2020 years, and they are in purgatory. The church in its birthday today is celebrating the triumphant church in heaven, the military church on earth, and we are engaged in battle, and we are fighting. And this is what this is, a fighting force. Don't forget it. And that's what Paul was when they cut off his head. And that's what Peter was. And that's what every one of those that shed their blood in the age of martyrdom. He was Jesus, suffering and dying just like him. When Peter went up on that Palatine Hill and was crucified upside down, he was a bishop. But he was Peter. "I don't deserve to die like him. Crucify me upside down." He spit in their eye. He wasn't no longer afraid. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit transformed Paul into a dynamic, fantastic, fiery apostle from a persecutor. The Holy Spirit transformed the apostles from being timid men locked in the door where Jesus had to go behind the locked doors. Now they were pouring out because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit plus people. And then they baptized. In baptism, they started the church, her first 3,000. Then 5,000 were added. That first century church were martyrs. It was the age of martyrdom. The first three centuries of the church poured out blood all over the Roman Empire, but they couldn't kill them. In the blood of the martyr was the seed of the faith. Then the age of white martyrs for the next centuries until the sixth century. There was a tremendous age of the white martyrs. There was the age of the deserts and the desert fathers who poured their life into saving and witnessing to Christ. That's what the word martyr means. They They radiated Jesus from every pore of their bodies, at least on earth. Once you're baptized, we may only think of Jesus as being in the Blessed Sacrament, and we don't want to desecrate that sacrament. But Jesus is in the baptized. What you do with that newborn baby of yours. And so it was in Constantine's day when they began to build churches and get the favors of the government. And this government it became very strongly entrenched in the 6th century. So as Constantinople and Rome began to become, they began to come into the church, its dark ages. And then so-called age of enlightenment, even deeper darkness. Instead of enlightenment, it was just plunged into deeper darkness. There was the dark ages and then the darker ages. And then the Industrial Revolution. And then we began to see a glimmer of new light. This light was so powerful. It was the beginning of Leo the 13th. And we have tremendous saints from Leo all the way down to Francis. Our popes have been magnificent in the age of here we are, God's leaders. But they aren't the only ones, because every member of the church is a light. It radiates the Holy Spirit. Every baptized member is a unique, specific, and irrepeatable Christ in the world today. Jesus lives in each one of us. He lives and breathes and is in us. Every single human being who is baptized and confirmed radiates Christ. And when we receive the flesh and the blood of Jesus from his body, his blood, his soul, his divinity, that feeds this life that is in us by baptism, that radiation goes out into this, be displayed in the way we live our lives. Yeah, I could see it in Mother Teresa. Yeah, I could see it in John Paul II. They were the saints of the 20th century. But each and every member, as we come to this retreat, when Sister said that you were Christ on earth, this is truly true for each of us on this particular celebration of Christ here in our time. And so I would like, Sister, to read to you again that beautiful challenge that she read to you when we were first opening our retreat. Father Doris, as he reminds each of us that we are called not to be, we are not called to be saints. Oh, we are not called, we are called to be Christ. We're not called to be priests. I always knew that I wanted to be a priest. That's not my calling. My calling is to be Christ.
I think right here, what Father is saying is that was a beautiful prayer. You are called by a diocesan priest. And I think right here now, it might be the time to talk about the grace for which to pray today. Because this is the day, the birthday of the church. And we are called to be very, very special parts of the church. So I'm going to first mention what we might be able to take as the grace for which to pray today. And that is that I, may become a living, vibrant member of the church today. That I may realize that I am a unique, specific, irrepeatable Christ on earth today. United with the head and called to fulfill the role that is mine. Each of us has a different role, but we are all called to be the body of Christ in the world today. I'll repeat that. That I may become a living, vibrant member of the church today. That I realize that I am a unique, specific, irrepeatable Christ on earth today. United with the head and called to fulfill the role to which I am called. That's a beautiful grace for which to pray. And as I read now the prayer, you're calling. You are called to listen. Listen to his words, his visions, his dreams spoken so quietly, and sometimes so gently, changing you, molding you, driving you to speak, to proclaim his awe, his wonder, and his love by the very breath he breathes in you. You're called even beyond speaking to sing, to rejoice so deeply that your song renews and perhaps even burns his life into the very spirit of his people. And after you sing, he calls you again and again to know him, to give him. He calls you to be his poet, to perceive him in brokenness, to comfort with his solace, to trust with his strength, to heal with his compassion, to love with his heart. A poet's call to create life and to share mystery, to expose miraculous glimpses of a love never to be fully conceived. You are called to die, to offer, to rise, to break bread and to Eucharist his poor. You are called most of all to be Christ.
Our calling. We have this calling right from the time that we've been baptized. And God has given us, each of us, the means by which we're able to achieve this goal. We first of all have Our Lady. He is our head. You are made a member of his body, unique and specific and irrepeatable. There's never been anyone like you. When you receive the waters of baptism, Christ is in you, and this is the age in which he wants to come into the world through you. But you already have in the body, he is the head, and you're connected with him. But there's Mary. You see, the only one in relationship with Jesus who is our head, who is unique and very specific, was his mother. She had that relationship with him. Of all the ages of women in the world, he wanted to come into the world as a human being, and he wanted to have a mother. All of us in this world did not have a choice with our mothers. Our mothers were given to us by God. I didn't have a choice as to who my mother was going to be, but we do have the choice of our Heavenly Mother, because God is the only one who could choose his mother. And as he looked on all the ages of women, the entire world, he settled on the Maid of Nazareth. And he came to her and asked her, "Will you be my son's mother. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, she conceived Jesus in her womb. And so we have Mary. If he is the head, she is the neck of the body. It is through her immaculate heart that we have a connection with his radiant and sacred heart. They are so tender, and she has been assumed into heaven. When Mary went to heaven in the Assumption, that is the teaching of our faith, that she is in heaven with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. And where are they? They are in us. They are in me. I am in him, and he is in me. He and I are one. When I go into my heart, there is also Mary. I have this magnificent strength of Our Lady there. As if he is my head and I am his child, and that connection that he unites me with him, then he also unites me with her. She is not only his mother, but she is my mother. And then we have Sister now to speak to us about those examples that we have. You see, the saints are not the saints in the sense they are like foreign to us. They are our brothers and sisters. Each one of them, we are called to be with them. Saint Therese, Saint Peter, Saint Paul, my patron Saint John, my dear friend Saint Anthony. All of these we can have as those who we can be like and imitate. But we have angels and we have saints in the church. We have those that Sister is going to talk about now.
I think what I will do is start first with the angels. There are 9 choirs of angels adoring God and praising him, but they also have great love for those of us on earth. And the 9 choirs, sometimes we just think of them as cherubs with wings, or the heads that the way sometimes artists have depicted them, but they are strong. They are the ones who did not follow Satan or the devil. They're the ones who fought for Christ and fought for God in heaven. And the highest order of angels are the seraphim. They are the very purest love and ardor. They love God so totally. And because God loves us, they love us. The next are the cherubim, and they're mighty powers of knowledge. So beautiful, the knowledge that they have, that they can inspire us with. The thrones are pure humility. They see the truth very, very clearly. So if there are times that you want to be able to see the truth, call upon the thrones to help you to see the truth. The dominions have power over all leadership. They have great wisdom. And so if you're in a leadership position, any kind of leadership position, don't be afraid to call on the dominions. And then the powers. The powers are great warriors against evil. And so if you find yourself being tempted, call on the powers. And when you see evil in the world, call on them to protect the world from against the evil one. And then you have the virtues. They're in a way, I think, delightful ones. They're spirits of motion. And it's said that they have control over all the elements. So rain and snow and all the elements that affect those of us who are on earth. Principalities are administrative. They guard and they guide us. The archangels have a very, very special love for people on the earth. And you know Michael and Raphael, and you know those, and Gabriel, how they have come down to earth and are in scriptures so frequently, just touching the people and guiding the people and leading the people on earth. And then the angels. And these can be our guardian angels. And every single one, a person on earth, from the moment of conception, has been given an angel who to assist us to getting to heaven. And so we are surrounded by these spirits. And because we're so human, many times we don't even realize that they're there, but they are. And so are the saints that Father was talking about before. When you receive baptism, you received a baptismal name. What is the name of your saint whose name you took in baptism? Don't be afraid to call on that saint to be with you and to help you. And many of you probably already do. You probably have Saint Anthony and Saint Francis and Saint Maria Goretti and Saint Faustina and Saint Bernadette. So many saints. Saints who have just been such idealistic people when they were on earth. But I think we don't only want to look at the saints who have died, but around us there are so many good people. So many of you in your own lives are holy, holy people. You are saintly because you love God and you want to adore him, love him, work for him, be examples for others. You want to help with this particular time of earth. You want to help to renew the face of the earth through the gifts and of the Holy Spirit and all that we've been given in order to help us to do our ministries, whatever they might be. And so we do have the angels and archangels and saints, and let us make use of them. As persons of faith, we really stand together now in hope. These are dark times, but we do stand together in hope, and we respond with love. Three virtues here: faith, hope, and love. And we are persons of faith. And so we have our hope, no matter how dark it is in the world. And our call is to respond with love. And why? Because God's dream and our response to the call of the gospel in these times really demand that we be people of faith and hope and love. And especially on this beautiful feast of Pentecost, the creativity of the Holy Spirit is at work within the church. He's deep within and making all things new. We're led by the Holy Spirit, and that demands that we be open to his promptings. And we also be open to our own weakness, our own vulnerability. And we have to try and ask for his help to really discover more deeply than ever before who we are and to help us to grow. As strong Christian leaders, we stand servants to the human spirit and to the guiding force of the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful charge we have. Let us work together to to make this become reality in the world today?
We have now come to the conclusion of our retreat. And our retreat has been for these last days, and now we're on the ninth retreat, which is the ordinary one that we have from Ascension to Pentecost. And we wanted, and we're so happy to be able to pray with you. When you make a retreat such as this, you have done these spiritual exercises. And if you've been following each day, you have earned through these spiritual exercises, if you go to confession and within 7 days or during this time, at this time, and confess your sins, and then if you pray for our Holy Father, the Pope, we would ask you to pray in Our Father, Hail Mary and Glory Be, I would like to grant you at this time a plenary indulgence. Now, what does that do? That brings you back, this is the Church, by the authority given to me by the Apostolic See, by the Holy Father himself, I could grant each of you a plenary indulgence as you complete this retreat. And that is the remission of all temporal punishment due to sin. What a magnificent gift that would be, to think that each of us is returned to his or her baptismal innocence. As the sister said, no matter what your sins have been, Jesus has not only provided that he wants to live in me and you, he wants to reign in you through that power and give you the relationship that he has, the same one with his Abba, that you and the Father are one. And the Holy Spirit has been transforming you during your entire life, that you can become a member of his body. And so it's by the authority given to me by the Apostolic See, I now grant to each of you a plenary indulgence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You've been participating in The Trinitarian Reality of Self-Giving Love, a Discerning Hearts 9-day online retreat with Monsignor John Esseff and Sister Cor Immaculatum Heffernan. To hear and or to download an audio presentation of this retreat, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can hear it on the various Discerning Hearts streaming platforms. To view other sessions in this particular retreat, visit the Discerning Hearts YouTube channel, or you can find it on discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, please consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our mission and to be able to continue to offer specialty programs such as the program you just experienced. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us again. God bless.